Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Here on our show, we like to talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about technology that's important to us and important to you.
We also want to thank Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your lender. Even if you do, sometimes you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business, so they can present your needs to a lending institution that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important for lenders, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. You can also call them 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, Mr. Davis, let's have ourselves a big old helping of Tech Gumbo today.
Sounds great.
Start off with the news and updates that we enjoy doing here. First up is Tesla. They were trying to drag Apple into this lawsuit that's been going on for quite some time, basically since a 2018 crash where this guy was supposedly trying to use the autopilot and took his hands off the wheel.
Yes, that is what is being alleged here, that Apple is being sued by Tesla here. The family is saying that this is Tesla's fault because the Tesla autopilot was working when it should not have been, that the Tesla autopilot needs to do a better job of disengaging whenever users are not fulfilling the requirements of being actively involved. Tesla is trying to point the blame back at the guy, trying to say the guy was playing on his phone and it was his fault that he was distracted. And so in order to prove that, they are trying to sue Apple to bring Apple into this. But Apple is saying that Tesla did not follow a standard legal procedure here and that it is too late to the party. And so therefore, Apple is not a party to this case.
Apple has washed its hands of it and said, nope, that's not us. We're out. Never mind. Which basically led Tesla to go ahead and settle the case. They have, after almost 6 years of this bouncing around in courtrooms, they have settled now. And it really comes down to the fact that, and this is speculation, Tesla was going to lose because they don't have true self-driving capabilities.
That is what this lawsuit is alleging, and what a lot of other lawsuits are also alleging, is that Tesla is misleading its consumers by calling a product fully self-driving. If they just call it partially self-driving, I think that would communicate better. But specifically to call your product full self-driving and to have Musk repeatedly double down on the technology as being full self-driving, that would lead a consumer to think that this is a full self-driving vehicle, especially because Musk has been talking for years about how close they are to releasing fully autonomous cars and robo-taxis. You would forgive someone for not knowing that they still have to have their hands on the wheel at all times while driving a Tesla.
The documents in this case showed that the vehicle was on autopilot and it drifted because the lines of the paint, the stripes on the road faded. And so when the car can't see where the lines on the road are, it just kind of keeps going in a straight line. So if the road bends, but there's no painted lines to show, hey, the road bent. Well, this car was doing more than 70 miles an hour, and it went careening into a safety rail and The guy died because of the crash, and he wasn't doing what Tesla said is, it's extremely clear that we tell people you have to keep your hands on the wheel and you must be fully alert at all times. But if anybody's been driving down the interstate anywhere and you pull up next to somebody driving a Tesla, if you've not seen somebody asleep or reading a book, or I have personally seen somebody reading a newspaper sitting behind the wheel of a Tesla at highway speeds, you're just not paying attention.
Yes, that's very much the problem here, is how lax the safety systems are around this technology. And I'm honestly surprised that the regulatory agencies, such as the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration or the National Transportation Safety Bureau, both of them are in the process of investigating crashes. It's possible that this is just one of those things wherever bureaucracy takes time, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but this is a huge safety risk. There are 19 fatalities since 2019 associated with people using this technology, and the Tesla technology is inherently limited. It cannot make that leap into the higher levels of automation because of the hardware designs in place. And so unless Tesla starts being much, much more honest and transparent, or starts being much, much safer, we're going to continue to have fatalities in this way. And that is terrible.
We've said it many, many times. We are not attorneys. We're not giving legal opinions here. We're just looking at stories who have legal scholars who are giving opinions, and we're basing our opinions based upon those legal scholars. And we're trying. It's really funny how many stories we've had to do recently here on Tech Gumbo that involve legal lawsuits. We don't want to. It just, that's where there's such an intersection between technology and the law nowadays. Here you've got this situation where if Tesla goes into court with this and they litigate this thing all the way to the end, Tesla has to prove that their vehicles are fully self-driving, because that's what the CEO has been saying. And if it doesn't live up to that standard, Tesla's in big trouble. And guess what? As you said earlier, they can't live up to that standard, so they had to settle.
Yeah, and maybe it's not the difference between them winning the case and losing the case, but it is the difference between their entire brand. That Musk has said that he thinks Tesla is worth virtually nothing if it cannot produce a fully self-driving car. And so whenever Tesla is so hell-bent on saying that they have something which can drive itself, because otherwise they don't have anything, that creates some pretty clear incentives to lie and deceive. And again, we're not lawyers, but usually you're not allowed to lie and deceive. I'm sure there are exceptions to that. But as the transportation expert who has done work into human factors, and especially their intersection with autonomous vehicles, you generally want to be upfront with the capabilities and limitations of your hardware, with what your technology can and cannot do. And that's, again, these are our moral principles, their best practices. They're not legal principles. But if you're going to continue to exist for a long time going forward, you need public trust. And lighting it on fire by lying about how good your technology is not a good way to be sustainable as a company.
Another way to be sustainable as a company is to pay your employees. And if you're an AI engineer nowadays, you are getting paid crazy money, just huge top dollar salaries. And there is an all-out war trying to recruit and maintain, if you already have, these AI engineers.
I mean, the AI is the future of everything, and especially right now in Silicon Valley, which is used to having talent competitions. there've always been a higher demand for the best software engineers than there were a supply of high-quality software engineers. And now the pool has narrowed even further into AI engineers, and the demand has gone even higher because the return on these investments is astronomical right now. There is so much speculation about how wildly profitable these softwares and hardwares could be in the future that you're seeing this pinch, which is just leading to this crazy boom.
The idea that Elon Musk owns the company XAI, you have OpenAI, you have Google, you have Apple, you have Microsoft, you have Amazon, and that's just five or six of the biggest players that are out there. Every other company is using artificial intelligence in one way or another, and they're all trying to hire people who know how to do things with this AI. Whatever level, you're always going to pay the most money for whoever's best in that field. Well, because there's such a small field of people available for these jobs, they are really, really being paid astronomical amounts of money. And it's if somebody offers you an extra $100,000, would you jump ship for an extra $100,000? Hey, I'll make it $200,000 if you come over here and work for me more than what your salary is. That's it's gotten that kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it really is because that's how much people believe these products are worth. That's the ability to design the next generation of large language model or the next generation of generative image or generative video. The sky is the limit on what these technologies will be capable of and how much revenue these companies will be capable of producing because of these transformative technologies.
One of these transformative technologies is what people are speculating what Apple is attempting to get into the home robot. After they closed down the car division, they looked at what Amazon tried to do with their little robot running around and said, hey, there's speculation Apple may be trying to get into that same game.
Yeah, you know, Apple is such a large company. They have so much money. They're investing a lot into experimental research and development, that not everything that Apple works on has to make its way to the product line. There are some things they're doing just to see if maybe it'll go somewhere or maybe some piece of it will go somewhere. And one of those is robotics, that they're kicking around a home robot right now that maybe they could do it. People really don't have a demand for something like this. There's not really an appetite amongst the general public to have a robot following you around like a butler. And so I'm not really sure that this is going to go anywhere yet. I don't see it, but, you know, it's possible.
So if you remember, it may have been 2 years ago now, we talked about here on the show how Amazon was selling Astro, the iPad on wheels, basically, how this thing would follow you around the house with video cameras, so it would identify everything in your house and make a video record of everything in your house and follow you around, even into the bathroom. And that kind of creeped people out that this little thing was running around the house. And, you know, it was there for security as well, because it would be able to roll around the house. And in the middle of the night, if somebody was in your house, it would set off all kind of alarms. At least that's how Amazon was positioning it. But people got creeped out when this thing started rolling into them, into their closet when they're in there getting dressed. So Amazon has not done very, very well with this. But the speculation, and again, this is speculation, that Apple thinks they can do a better job with it and maybe create something that's going to be a robot that will be around your house and be your true digital assistant.
Moving on to the next story here. AT&T is now facing a class action lawsuit over the leak of data of 73 million customers. For years, AT&T had denied and denied and denied that this data came from them. Well, over the weekend, a security researcher was able to prove that there was AT&T passwords in the data. And so all of a sudden, AT&T had to admit that maybe it was them who had the leak several years ago.
This leak started all the way in early 2019, and it was into 2021 before AT&T figured out, oh my God, there's a big hole inside of our ship and we're leaking data. And they finally did plug it, and the approximate 7.6 million clients of AT&T were all notified they had to change their passcodes because their data had been leaked. And as it turns out, it wasn't just data. It was their full name, email address, physical address, and in some cases, yes, the Social Security number and dates of birth.
That's a lot of information about you. Unfortunately, it probably was already on the web, on the dark web in a lot of places. There have been just a lot of massive, massive data leaks. And this lawsuit is more about saying that AT&T did not do its due diligence to protect itself, that there were warnings that it could have addressed and that it could have protected itself better, and that it, you know, was negligent in its duties. That is plausible. I understand how that could be a lawsuit. You know, again, we're not lawyers here. You cannot evaluate the claims on their merit, but it sounds like something that a lawyer would say.
You know, currently AT&T is saying there's not enough evidence of unauthorized access into its systems that have resulted in any kind of data set, the theft of data sets. So they're just being closed-lipped about it all right now, trying to not have to pay out tons and tons of money in legal damages for this class action lawsuit that could be affecting as many as 73 million customers.
It's also interesting how precisely AT&T worded that. They said, currently, AT&T does not have evidence of unauthorized access into its systems, which means that it's possible that that exists, and AT&T just doesn't have it. Maybe their security records are so bad, they just never noticed it or never detected it. That if you have the dataset which has AT&T passwords, it's pretty obvious where they came from, but if AT&T just never had the capability to determine when it was hacked because its cybersecurity was so terrible, then technically they're telling the truth, but on the wrong side of the truth.
It's not a good look either way. The last story we wanted to get to has to do with smartphones, not with the carriers. But the most common types of smartphone damage is no longer water.
Yes, smartphones have now become more or less water resistant. They're not waterproof yet. I wouldn't go throw your phone into the pool. But if you fall into the pool or you're pushed into the pool with your phone in your pocket, then as long as you get out in time, it's probably salvageable. So that means that the most common damages are now other sources.
Yes, the most common, and by the way, it's not just falling into the pool. It's most of the time it's falling into the toilet. That's where most water damages happen to phones nowadays. But if it's not the water, it's usually a damaged screen. You dropped your phone, you banged it around enough to where some of the things inside it just stop working, like it won't connect to the Wi-Fi anymore, or the touchscreen doesn't work like it's supposed to. That's where a lot of your damages are nowadays.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, they've actually said that as long as the phone is still functioning, then they're not going to go get it fixed. And a lot of times it's because of the cost, or they don't want to be without their device. That's, if it takes a week or, you know, a couple days and you don't have your phone, well, that's, you know, almost as bad. That's a pretty huge drawback for a lot of people.
And the cost of going out to buying a new phone, especially if you still are paying per month for your old phone, it can be very cost prohibitive. So you're just going to lug that phone around with the cracked screen until you can either afford to buy a new one, or there's a new promo where you can turn in your phone, and you just got to hope your phone is not so damn old that they won't give you any money for turning it in.
Apple actually has a category for that kind of phone. They use the word obsolete, and they have recently added a new phone to that category of obsolete.
The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus is now obsolete. Now, by obsolete, it will still work. You're just not going to get any kind of updates anymore.
Yes, this is similar to whenever Microsoft uses the term end of life to describe operating systems, that it still works, you know, as long as you don't need to fix it, repair it, replace it, patch it, or do anything to it, as long as it's exactly the way it is, it'll be fine. But if something breaks, chips, gets damaged or altered in any way, then you're going to need an entirely new one.
We want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. Based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, General Informatics is a premier IT managed service provider delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers across the southeastern United States. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 180 plus employees, including technicians, engineers, program designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of business schools and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show or you have any suggestions, let us know on our website at www.techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.